Genesis 9, verse 18, to chapter 10, verse 32, and then chapter 11, verses 10 to 32. Chapter 9, verse 18, to 10, 32, and then 11, 10 to 32. We have an account of the rest of the life of Noah, and the sacred record picks on one major event and the consequences of that and the prophecy of Noah coming from that. Let me look at the main points. We learn that after the flood, and Noah and his family were back upon the earth again, we read in verse 18, the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. These were the three sons of Noah, and from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard and so on. He drank some of its wine, he became drunk. Ham saw him, and then told his brothers. The brothers covered Noah, and then Noah issued his prophecy. What do we learn from this? First, that Noah was a worker. He was a man of the soil. Well, if he'd been a man of the soil before, and I presume that's what he was, then he was a remarkable man because he was also adaptable and a worker and became a carpenter and built the ark. So this man shows flexibility, adaptability. Indeed, in the footnote to the word proceeded to plant a vineyard, it says that he was the first to plant a vineyard. He was a pioneer. So he was certainly adaptable and flexible and a man of labor and hard work. Tilling the soil, I know in my own experience, I know working the soil is not easy work. Of course, with modern machinery, no doubt it's simplified. But in those days, and by hand, bending the back, this man was a worker indeed. But we also learn that Noah was a sinner. He lost self-control, and drink brought him down, and he became drunk and stupefied and into shame and nakedness because of it. The effect and consequence of the alcohol which he produced, and it led him into this shameful position. This man had survived the flood, but he was brought down by his own drink. You see, the truth is about the flood, although it destroyed many things, it did not destroy the sin which is in the heart of man. Years ago, I remember addressing a couple, speaking to a couple. They were dissatisfied, unsettled, and I think they were blaming their circumstances and where they lived and maybe even their connection with the church. And so they decided to move area, move occupation and everything else. But I had to say to them that as soon as they unpack their suitcase, all the old troubles will come out again. Well, I was right in a sense, but actually I was wrong. They didn't even have to unpack their suitcase, because the cause of all our troubles, my friend, as it was with Noah, he brought it through the ark and the flood. He was a sinner before he went into the ark, and he was a sinner when he came out. It wasn't the suitcase, it wasn't the ark, it was Noah. As Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man, it's you, it's your heart, it's your eyes, it's your will. The actions are wrong, because the heart is wrong." Jesus said, "It's out of the heart of man and Noah's shame, his lack of self-control, and all the consequences of it, come because Noah was still a child of Adam. My mother, when I was a young boy, used to say to me, "David, you're ardent." Ardent. I knew I was ardent, but I didn't know what being ardent was. My mother, of course, was speaking in the dialect of the area in which we lived. And it was only years later, looking back, remembering that I was ardent, and that's what she said about me, that I realized what she was saying. I was hardened. It wasn't I was hard, merely. But I was hardened. I was stubborn. I was a stubborn boy. It was ingrained in me. It was part of my woof and warp. I was hardened. Of course, in those days, my mother, like my father, had not an inkling, not a clue about biblical teaching. They weren't regenerate. They weren't converted. They weren't trusting Christ. They weren't believers. They didn't read their Bible. They didn't have a clue. But she was actually giving solid biblical theology here. Of course, she should have added and could have added, "David, you're hardened, just like me, just like your father, just like us all." For all of us, my friend, are hardened. What do I mean? Noah was under the fall before the flood. He went through the flood, but when he came out, he was still a child of Adam, and so am I, and therefore we're sinners. It may not manifest itself in the same manner as Noah, but here it is. Noah was a sinner. It came out of his suitcase because it came out of his heart, because it came out of the ark, because it came out of Noah. Only Christ can break the power of cancelled sin. And that's why I delight to sing Wesley's hymn. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Noah was a sinner in bondage to sin, like we all are, ardent. But Jesus breaks the power of cancelled sin. We're not sinless. But the Spirit he gives us, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, and he sets the prisoner free. And then we have the three sons of Noah. We have Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The differences between the sons, their upbringing was the same, their parents were the same, their circumstances were the same, their experiences were the same. But they showed manifest differences. And Ham stands as a warning. Noah, with these three sons, has three different sons. They're all sinners, but they manifest different traits. Ham is a warning to us. He gloated, as it were, as far as I can judge, gossiping about his father and his shame, maybe even sniggering about it. He treated it with contempt. But the two brothers, Shem and Japheth, at least tried to cover their father. The three sons, they're their differences, but they're all the same in a way. They're all sinners. But Ham shows contempt and sniggers at his father. That's how I read it. And then Noah prophesies. And of course, the leading prophecy is for Shem. And this goes on into chapter 11, as I've already referred. From Shem comes Christ. And this is the great point of this. For Shem leads on to Abraham, and Abraham leads on to Isaac and to Jacob, and then on to Christ. So the three sons, though they are sinners, one of them is still used by God to bring about the Christ in the fullness of time, which is God's everlasting purpose, of course. Notice that Noah is willing to criticize his sons, especially Ham, but I don't read anywhere in this passage that he ever criticizes himself. And he was the cause of it all. Ham is responsible. So is Noah. But Noah never seems to own up to it. My friend, are you passing the buck? Are you recognizing your responsibilities in sin? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Perhaps you can see sin in others, but can you see it in yourself? So many of us forget to look into the mirror and accuse ourselves and be prophets to ourselves, looking at ourselves in the mirror and say, thou art the man, thou art the woman. And so when prophecy of the history of the world comes out, no, it's not a history of the world in this prophecy. It is a history of the covenants leading to redemption. I said that again. This is not a history of the world, although it is. But really what it is the covenant history of redemption. And that's what the Bible is all about. It's a very selective history. Out of the three sons of Noah, Shem is the one that will lead on to Abraham. And out of Abraham will come Isaac. Not Ishmael, yes, Ishmael will come, but it's Isaac is the principle. And out of Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, yes, but it's Jacob is the principle. And so it goes on until the Christ shall come, the Messiah. And he will bring in the new covenant. And that was God's purpose all the while. Well, these are the lessons I see. After the flood, Noah, a worker, but still a sinner. He has three sons, and they're all sinners. But out of the three sons, the prophecy leads on to the coming of the Christ. As I say, not the history of the world, but the history of the covenants leading to redemption. My friend, where are you in all this? We're all sinners. But has Christ set you free? That's what this passage is about, ultimately leading to the Christ. You're in here somewhere. Are you yet in Adam and under the fall? Or are you in Christ? Though you're still under the fall, you're redeemed. You will still have to die physically. But the glorious redemption has come, and all is changed. These are the things I see in this large section of Scripture, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Genesis. May God bless these thoughts to us. Amen.